You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in.
What's up, my friend? Welcome back to another week on Finding Direction. This week, I'm sitting down with Laura K. Wise, and she is a writer, a speaker, a freelancer, a content creator. And a few of the things you can expect on this episode is Laura talks and shares with people all over the world, how do you begin to rethink work? How do you begin to rethink your work, what it looks like? And so we have a deep conversation into that. We also talk about how you can take maybe a scary leap that you've been thinking about. If you're at a place in your life where you're looking to make a big leap, 100% you need to listen to this episode 2, 3, 4 times because she gives some unbelievable nuggets on how you can take that leap and how you can do it in a sense that kind of makes it this flowing process rather than this really daunting task. And we also talk about how do you get started as a freelance worker if that's something you want to do as far as bringing extra income on the side as a freelance worker? So we dive into all of those things and so much more. If you are not already, make sure you hit the subscribe button so you can hang out with us every single week. And if you want to leave a review, we would love for you to do that as well. But without further ado, we are going to dive right into the episode. Laura K. Wise, welcome to the show. I'm pumped to have this conversation today.
Yes, me too. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Pleasure's all ours. And so, you know, as we kick this thing off, I would love it if you could give our listener just kind of an inside look as far as who's Laura, what do you do, and just fill us in a little bit first and foremost on basically your world.
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like there's a long answer and a short answer. So,
yeah. Right.
Short answer is that I am a writer, speaker, and content creator. I am dedicated to helping women rethink work. So when I say rethink work, work has changed for all of us. And even before it changed with this great pandemic, I think it just people understand and people are feeling this need that they need something a bit more flexible. So I help women think about what that looks like. Going into the longer answer, I have been a freelancer for the last 12 years of my career.
Nice.
So I teach women how to build profitable freelance businesses, right? So that is my version of helping women to rethink work. So,
okay, cool.
That's why.
So to dive kind of, and I want to go back into your story, but I was curious about this even reading about you, right? When you think of the idea of like rethinking work, right? It's like, you know, what is that? What does that look like? And you've given us a good breakdown there, but I'm curious, what is like one of the biggest things people initially get stuck on when it comes to rethinking work? Like where, because I would imagine people have a way of thinking of doing life. They're sort of on autopilot. They're going through their habit, their routine. And all of a sudden you come in and you're like, wait, we need to like almost break the way that you've been thinking and create a new way of thinking. So like, what are some of the biggest stuck points people have when they try to even rethink work?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think you said it. I think we are in autopilot, right? I think when we are born and raised in whatever city and context that we are raised in, we're taught certain things about life and what life should look like. And we should be a doctor or a lawyer. And, you know, we should move to the suburbs and get a white picket fence and like 2.5 kids, right? Like, I think that is... the quote unquote American dream, or it was at one point.
Right.
So I think that my life has not looked like that, like not even a little bit. So I think the concept of rethinking work started with, wow, my life is so different than everyone else's. Me going through a lot of therapy to understand like this is not a bad thing that I've taken different paths in life, and me finding the power in like, hey, I made alternate decisions and I have an alternate reality, right? Which is like pretty cool that I like a lot, right? So I just want specifically women, but everyone to rethink work and rethink life, because I think women so much so get placed into these boxes of what society thinks that we should do and what we shouldn't do.
Yeah.
So I just want to help people rethink that, like all of it, the whole thing.
it is crazy that we're trying to like fill a box almost that was unconsciously created around the life that we should have when we're trying to fill this box and we don't even know if we like the box, but we're trying so perfectly to like create this box that, you know, oftentimes people eventually create the box and then they look at the box and they go, what the hell is this thing?
Exactly. That's when midlife crises happen. Right. And we're like 50 and we like, oh my gosh, why did I just spend all this time doing this when we can design lives now the way that we want them to be? So
what's your definition of work?
Work for me, number one, is flexible. That's my number one definition.
I like that.
It's very important to me. Work is flexible. Work is a place where I, of course, can earn a living, but work is also meaningful for me. If I am working on a project that I am not excited about, I don't want to do it. And, you know, I used to feel bad about that, right? Because I'm a millennial. So they would say, oh, millennials work places 2 years and then they just leave and then they go and they just... It's true. You know, that's really how I feel, because I feel very connected to my work, because I feel like work is a piece of your life, right? Like it shouldn't be there's this separate work self and there's this separate personal self. They kind of blend together. So if that is going to be the case, then I want to make sure that I'm only working on projects that I'm really passionate about, that I enjoy, that I feel like I'm adding something to. So
love it. And how did you find the balance? I'm curious of like one, it's like, well, I want to do what I want. And, you know, I'm going to say yes to the things that, you know, energize me. And then there's the other half of the equation that's like, I need to pay my bills and I, you know, have to make money. So how have you found the balance of like giving yourself this ability to be able to say yes to the things that are in alignment with your definition of work, but at the same time, make sure that, you know, you can live a life where you're, you know, not financially freaking out.
Absolutely. And that is like, that is really important. You know, I will say like at this point, I have options in my career in terms of what kind of projects I take on and what I don't. And that's a privilege. And I realize that I've worked a long way to get to that place where I can make those choices. Right. Yeah. But there have also been times where I've had to take a job or keep a job that I didn't like, so that I could get to where I am now. Right. So I think more than anything, it's always about vision. Like, do you have a vision for what you want for yourself? And if you do, then you can work your way there, right? And like, it's not an ABC. I feel like it is like a chessboard at any given time, different moves that we can make that put us in different places. But as long as you are kind of clear on what your vision is, I think we can always maneuver our way there. So that's what I had to do. I had to have a vision when nothing else seemed to be going in my favor. So.
Yeah. It's so powerful to have a vision, right? Because it's easy. It's like, you know, if you don't have an idea of what, you know, you really want your life to look like, then if you have to work a job you don't love, or you have to, you know, say yes to something you wanted to say no to, it's easy to get lost in that. But if, you know, it's like, if you can have the vision, then you can go, okay, I'm going to suck it up for 6 months, for, you know, 12 months, whatever it is, so that I can get to that. And so let's say we go back into your story then, right? And kind of get some of the turns, the twists, all those different things that led you to being able to say yes and no and have opportunities now. I'm curious for you, when you first, you know, I guess just like went into this real world, what was that sort of, what was that journey like for you?
Yeah. So lots of twists and turns. So let me see if I can make it as succinct as possible. So I graduated college. I went to Hampton University. I graduated college in May 2009. So this is 1 year after the crash of 2008. Things were still not totally settled. And that was fine because I knew that I wanted to work in fashion and I wanted to go to fashion school. So that was my dream. Cool. I loved fashion. And so I decided to go to fashion school, which I did. So I moved to LA.
Nice.
Virginia. Like a week after graduation, and because I had been accepted to FITM, or the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising, spent 2 years there, graduated, and got a job. I was a designer for a manufacturing company. I loved it. I was designing for top brands that I still love and wear today. So it was kind of like a dream job.
That's cool.
At that time. A year in, the company still just really never settled from 2008. So they had to lay off, and I was one of the ones that got laid off. So I'm 23 years old in LA by myself, no family there. I had friends at that point, but I had to figure it out, right? Like I had to pay my bills. I had to think about how I was going to maneuver and work until I landed my next full-time job. So a friend at the time introduced me to an agency that needed designers, and they were going to pay me. And I was like, great, I'll do it. I don't care what it is. Right? So I started doing freelance work, right? And this was freelancing before I even really knew what the term freelancing was. They just had money. I had a skill, so it worked out.
And they were going to pay you for this like one-off project, AKA freelancing.
Exactly. And that project turned into a few more projects, which really like helped me to just keep my head afloat and, you know, figure out the rest of my time in LA until I decided that I no longer wanted to work in fashion. I wanted to go in a different direction. So I applied for a fellowship, and I got in. And I moved from LA to the Philippines for 2 years. It was crazy. So when I was there in the Philippines, I was doing like really grassroots communications work. My background is in communications, visual communications, written communications, all forms of communications, but was doing like really grassroots communications for a network of NGOs in the Southern Philippines. And that was great. The fellowship was over. I knew that I always wanted to move to New York City. So I packed my bags from the Philippines and I moved to New York City, where I spent the next 6 years. And, I worked hard. You know, I was hustling, trying to make my way in this new space that I had carved out for myself, which was really, at that time, it was called more corporate social responsibility. Now it's kind of morphed to ESG work and D&I work, which is what I do now with my consulting and freelancing. But those jobs are hard to come by. So what did I do? I kept freelancing because that was the way that I paid my bills while I was trying to figure out how I was landing these jobs, you know, that I wanted to land. So all of that to say, I decided in 2019, after I did, you know, have a very successful career, I would say in New York, I decided to quit. I decided to go out on my own, and I thought that I could do it on my own. And I've been doing so for almost 4 years now. So it's been good.
Love it. Love it. Such a cool journey and so many fun things we can dive into. One thing I would love to hear from you is, you know, you had this vision, it seems like relatively early, of like fashion. That's what I want to do. It's what I, you know, it almost sounded like you had like a pull, like a calling to just be in that world. And you went to FITM, you started working in that industry. And I'm curious, what was the moment that made you decide to go to something different? Because I think one thing that's really interesting is, I think oftentimes in our life, we have an idea of what we want to do. And if we're bold enough to say yes and pursue it, like you did in fashion, oftentimes it just leads us to the next thing, right? And we can get overwhelmed sometimes going, okay, what's that thing that I want to do for the rest of my life? And you know, the reality is you thought fashion was going to be what you're going to do the rest of your life, but then you did it and it just revealed the next thing. And so I think sometimes we have to like ease off the pressure and say, okay, maybe I don't need to look at like what I want to do for the rest of my life, but what am I called to do now? Because that's going to lead you to the next thing. So I'm curious, in your own story, as you pursued and you were bold enough to, again, move from Virginia to LA, it's like easier said than done, right? And you do that, you start working in the fashion industry. And at what point did you start to go, okay, this has been great, but like, I know I'm not supposed to do this anymore?
Yeah. So I will also say, just kind of background, I'm a very spiritual person. I was born and raised in the Methodist Church here in Dallas. I'm actually originally from Dallas and I'm back in Dallas now. But so there's always, not always like at church every Sunday type of religious, but like I have a connection with God, with a higher power, which I feel like gives me clues, you know? And sometimes those clues are like smacking my head up against the wall, like 20 times. And that is my change directions. But when I was in LA, when I was working in fashion, it wasn't honestly the industry that I thought it was. And even fashion now has changed a lot from when I was working there, but fashion was a very, very closed door industry, especially in LA, because LA, when you think about LA, it's such an industry town, although it's not. Yeah. If you spent time in LA, you know that there's so much more to LA than that. But the fashion industry kind of had the same feel. And I just felt like I kept running into walls, and there were no legitimate reasons, in my personal opinion, you know, like why I shouldn't have gotten this job or why I shouldn't have gotten that job. So I just decided it was too catty. It was too mean girl for me. And I didn't want to do it. And simultaneously, I was volunteering at my church because, like I said, I grew up in the Methodist church, found a church in Southern LA that I loved, volunteered there. And it was actually the pastor that became my mentor that told me about the opportunity, the fellowship opportunity. So, it was kind of like as this thing was like declining, this one was gaining speed in my life. And it just felt like the next right thing to do. And it felt like I was getting pulled to do this thing. So I did it.
Yeah. Love it. What would you say? Cause it like, obviously you look at your story and there's, okay, I'm in Virginia. I'm going to move to LA, and you're probably what? 20, 21.
Yeah. I just had my 22nd birthday.
Okay. So move across the country, go to LA, crazy leap, go to LA to the Philippines. Again, someone from the outside would be like, that's crazy. Go to the Philippines to New York. So like you have this continued sort of part of you, it seems like, where like you're just willing to make a pretty, from the outside, intense jump to the next thing, right? Mm-hmm. And it's worked out. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, like, what would you say has allowed you to do that? Because I'm sure, you know, our listener right now, maybe they have a point in their life where they're going, I mean, it's so different to hear you say this than to go through this, right? It's oh yeah, you know, I just, you know, moved to Philippines and it was crazy and my life worked out. But it's another thing when you're sitting in LA going, man, I have to say no to this thing that I loved and I thought was what I was supposed to do. And I have to buy probably a one-way flight to the Philippines, which is that like, it's so much more intense when you're in it. And so I'm curious, like for anyone that's listening to this and is looking to maybe make a big leap or at some point in their future, they're going to have to make that big leap. Like what allowed you to do that? Cause it sounds like there was some ease around doing it. I could be wrong. It could have been insanely difficult, but it sounds like there was something that allowed you to just kind of like float through these crazy big leaps.
Yeah. So I've taken many big leaps, and I think that every 4 or 5 years, like my life takes like a hard left turn, like not like a So the thing was, it wasn't easy. Absolutely not. Like, honestly, at some points it was like 51%, 49%. Like, I don't know if I should do this. Right. Yeah. But I was actually on Instagram today and I saw a quote that I will butcher. But the gist of it said, you know, cheers to the people that continue to push through fear because of the vision that they have for themselves being so much greater than what it is now, you know? So I can say I am 35 years old. I had a birthday this June, past June.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And something really clicked for me. You know, I think, you know, I'm getting older, although I don't always feel like I'm getting older, but I'm getting older. And I think that I have realized at 35 that I have far surpassed everything that I already thought was possible for my life. Right. So anything from here on out is icing on the cake. And I mean that very seriously. And I'm so just excited about those prospects. So I think to the point of that quote, just my future vision of myself, because I do have a clear vision of what I want for myself, is so grand that I cannot get there if I am too scared to make a move, when I feel something inside of me telling me to make a move, you know?
I love it.
That's what it's been.
That's beautiful. And so maybe a great next question will be, well, then how does someone create one of these visions that allows you to surpass the fear and like be courageous.
Yeah. So I will say that part is hard. It takes a lot of work. It took me a lot of work. I think step number one is clarity. We have to be clear on things, right? And I think a lot of times, especially these days, because there's so many things competing for our attention and we're just like, our minds are so busy and we can't focus and we want to do everything. We're multi-hyphenate. We all are, right? But I think we really have to sit down and get clear on not necessarily how you want to get there, but what it is. What is the there? Not like, I want to be a freelancer to get there. I want to have a life where I can live remotely. I can work from anywhere. I can spend time with my friends and my family. I can prioritize wellness. That's my vision, right? Like, so how I get there, that's chess. That is me moving the pieces around to see like how they fit. But I think you really have to get clear on like, what is that thing for you? And it doesn't have to be super specific. Like, I want a beach house, you know, in some Caribbean island that is near a coffee shop. I don't think it has to be that specific, right? I think it just has to be brand vision. Like, for instance, like, I do vision boards every year. And it was so funny because last night I was looking at my vision board because it's in my room and I can like see it from my bed. And my mind was blown because everything on there I've accomplished this year. I was like, wow, you know, and it's just like, time just goes by and it's just like, you don't even think about it. But when I sat down, I was like, you know, I want to take like this crazy boat trip. And I just got back from 2 weeks in Colombia, which was like absolutely fabulous. And I took an amazing boat trip. And I like literally have the picture that was like on my vision board. I was like, wow, that's the picture, you know?
So cool.
So I think it's like getting clear, putting it down, do a vision board. Like, that's like super easy to do. You know, with freelancers, I talk a lot about like, before you can start freelancing, you have to get clear on what your skills are. What are you good at? And what will the market pay for? And then that's how you start to decide. You can't just say, I'm a freelancer and I write and I do social media and I'm in PR and I also do websites. Like, that's, you can't sell that to anyone, right? You have to scale down your idea. And coming from someone who is, again, multi-hyphenate, multi-passionate, and just wants to do all of these things, like hard, but you got to do it. You got to find a way. Or you have to say, for the next year, this is going to be the thing. And if I don't like this, next year, I'm going to do that thing. So you can find the thing.
Right.
Find that vision.
I love it. And I think one thing too, like, there's, I used to have a magnet of this on my fridge. I don't know where it lives now, but the quote that was like on the magnet was, what would you do if you couldn't, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Mm-hmm. And I think it's also that process of when you create a vision for your life, you have to go into the process without fear. You have to go and do it without almost like the logical part of your brain. You have to be willing to say like, what do I actually want for my life? And you have to be able to, you have to like be willing to dream big. And I think, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, in society, we don't always live in like a, hey, dream big society, right? It's like, people aren't always like, yeah, give yourself permission to have these crazy dreams and thoughts about what you really want. People are like, no, you should like, you know, be reserved and, you know, make sure that you don't, you know, let yourself down. It's like, screw that. Like, what do you actually want with your life? And if you can sort of create the vision in that sense, now it's always going to even pull you even more, right? Absolutely. And then that's going to allow you to push through those big leap moments.
Absolutely. And I would add another thing that I would say that I have learned in my time is like, that vision is one, but sorry, I live on a noisy street.
no worries.
Number two is execution. Okay. Because a vision with no execution is a dream. And that, you know, lots of people have dreams. Amen. Dreams die with people every day, unfortunately, right? So like, if it is something that you want to do, you have to put a plan in place to do it. Like, I can imagine when you started this podcast, and I know that you have so many episodes now, you know, you had to figure out like, how am I going to consistently do this? Yeah. Like, I started doing YouTube this year. I'd never done YouTube before. And it's hard. You know what I mean? It takes a lot of work. But you know, when I look back so far, I've put out like 40 videos this year. And I'm like, hey, I'm proud of myself for doing that. I found a way to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it too, is like, you have to have the vision, but then you have to commit to executing it and being consistent in that execution, because consistency is the thing that's going to win every time. So,
yeah, love that. Yeah. I on this podcast, one of the biggest things we talk about is action for that very reason, right? It's like, you can have an idea of what you want your life to be like, and you can have these visions and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, it's like, whoever's going to put in more action and more work at the end of the day is the person that's going to have that as the reality, right? So you can't just, like they say, there's the law of attraction, and there's the law, I think it's of Goya, where it's like, get off your ass and do something.
Absolutely. Right?
It's like, you gotta put in the work. And so I'm curious, you know, obviously you've been a freelancer now for 12 years. So I would love to learn from you a few tips as far as if our listeners like, hey, you know what, I'm, you know, would love to get into some of the freelance work, would love to, you know, maybe bring in a little bit of extra income on the side. Like, what are a few tips you could give someone to kind of get their feet into this freelance world?
Yeah, absolutely. So one, I would say, going back to the point I just made, is you got to get really clear on what your niche is. What are you going to market into the world? And until you have that, you can't do much, because you're going to confuse people when you tell them all of these things. So you got to find whatever that one thing is going to be. And then you really have to set yourself up for success, right? Like, you have to make sure that you have, I like to tell people, everyone has to have a portfolio, right? Like, it doesn't have to be a shiny, you know, with videos and like things flying in. It could be a one pager, honestly, like, but you need to have some kind of way to show your work. One thing that's really important is you need to have a way to get paid. I cannot tell you how many freelancers and small business owners, and I'm sure you might have run into this before, are like, oh, can you cash at me? And I'm like, no, I can't. Like, that's not how I want to pay, you know, for my business. I don't want to pay people via Cash App, because that's not going to work for me when it comes to like all the things I have to do with my taxes and financially. So make sure you're set up to have, you know, proper payments. Think about the money that you're getting in. And if you're getting in a lot of cash, please pay the IRS. Talk to a tax accountant. I am not an accountant. True. I can't give those details, but like, that is going to be the thing that's going to nip so many people in the bud. And it just looks like you're making all this cash up front. But if you're not setting it aside, they'll come after you. They always do. So those foundational kind of things, I think, are the most important things that people really need to think about. And then put it out there. And I always like to tell people to start with your network. I mean, you would be surprised how many people in your network, if you just send out an email like, hey, this is what I'm doing now. I'm building websites on the side. If you know someone or if you need it, you would be surprised how many people would follow up with you. And I would say, out of all the jobs I get, like 90% are from my network. So start with your network.
Beautiful. Yeah. Amazing. So lots of really good ways to start if you're looking to make some extra income. And I think, again, it's one of those great things where if you're trying to build this vision, right? Or maybe you're trying to leave something that you don't currently love, find a way where you can sort of do some stuff on the side.
Exactly. That's exactly it. That's the message.
Very cool. So I'm curious if, you know, people want to get hold of you, see what you're up to, just kind of stay more plugged into your world. Where's the best place for them to find you, see what you're up to, and all of that good stuff?
Yes. So I am, of course, on all of the places that all of the places are at local. But I will say my favorite place is Instagram. So you can find me on Instagram at Laura K. Wise. And my biggest like ask for people right now is to join my newsletter. I'm going to be launching some things soon. And you know, socials get lost, and I would rather have conversations more directly with people. So I'm asking people, if you go to my Instagram and you click the link in bio, it will take you right to the sign up for my newsletter. So
love it.
Would love to just continue to have conversations about the future of work, freelancing, and just building lives that we love, and in all of the ways that happens. So
love it. So my last question I have for you, is a question we asked everybody on the show, because we believe in helping people find direction, but doing it through action, just like you spoke about. So I'm curious, what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
That's a really good question. In the next 24 to 48 hours. So I am, And this is not for everybody, but you know, this is what I would pick. I am a writer. I've always been a writer. And I think that if we just sit down and kind of write out and just like white paper the things that we want, even if it doesn't like totally make sense, I think that is a really great place to start, is like getting your thoughts out of your head and on paper. Or maybe it's not writing. Maybe it's you putting in a note in your phone. Or I do like a lot of voice recording on my phone now, right? So it doesn't necessarily have to be writing, but it's just the act of taking what's in here out and getting it down. And once you get it down, I think you can organize it in a different way. And I think we would be surprised, you know, like that vision is probably already there. It just needs to be refined and put in a special place so that we can see it and not just think about it, you know?
Right. Love it. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Laura, thank you again so much for being here. It's been an absolute joy, and we appreciate you for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. This was wonderful.
Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on the Finding Direction podcast. Make sure to give yourself a round of applause, give yourself a pat on the back, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for a life less than one that lights up your soul. And that is absolutely something to celebrate. I want to say thank you again for hanging out with us here on the episode. Thank you for hanging out with us, whether this is your first time or whether you're a regular. I am so grateful to be able to spend some time with you to help you find your purpose and live in that purpose even more so every single day. The only thing I would ask is for you to do one of two things as we leave this episode today is, number one, either take something you learned from today's episode and go make sure you execute on that thing. Right? Knowledge is not power, it's potential power. So take something, apply it, turn it into real power. And if you are saying, Stu, I don't want to act on some of the things I heard here, the other thing I would encourage you to do, one of two options, is send this to a friend that you know needs a little bit of drive, maybe needs a little bit of their spark relit as they're trying to figure out what they want to do with their life. And I promise you, if you send this to a friend, they're going to send a message back to you saying, thank you so much for thinking of me. Thank you for sharing this. And so go out, take one of those two actions. Other than that, I hope you have a phenomenal rest of your day. If you want to continue to hang out with us on the show, don't feel like you need to go anywhere. Right after this, we're actually coming out with episode 300 of the podcast. It sounds crazy to say, but I would encourage you, stick around for that one. It's going to be a fun one. And other than that, have a wonderful rest of your day, my friend.